Welcome back to Messages to Me podcast. We have a friend, which is my dog Luna today, because she decided when she heard my voice, she just had to be near me. So today's episode, the new format, I guess, really, we're just going to see how it flows. So I'm also recording really early in the morning. So this is actually a first for me. It's 8:17 a.m. This is early to me because I don't wake up this early naturally. My wake-up time, luckily, is like 10 a.m. because my daughter sleeps till that time and it's great. I also tend to stay up a lot later, as you guys know, with my usual podcast. But here we are. Let's do this thing together. And I hope I got you for the morning drive. I'm guessing I didn't. But if I didn't, then I'm going to get you for lunch. Yeah? Let's go with that. So today's episode of Messages to Me will be a little bit about our new format. I'll continue on from my experience of transformation from maiden to motherhood and even how that's going. But I would even like to go into just talking more about like what I've learned. And when I talk about that, it will flow into so many other things. Who knows? But today, let's just get into the episode and continue from this transformation. So as you know, I feel like I've gone through this stage of really saying, yes, I'm a mom now. And prior to that, I was in the stage where I was saying I was a maiden in the sense that these are two different aspects of your life as a woman in the spiritual sense, most importantly. This isn't about gender or anything like that. This is really in the spiritual sense of transformation from maiden to mother and then the stages subsequently that follow. With the maiden stage, I feel like I really, really went through a whole lot of different experiences and some very dark times, but it all were experiences I would love to avoid for the rest of my life. But at the same time, they were learning. They were experiences that I had to learn from and understand myself a little bit more. I actually remember a while back, I think when I was getting my cards read with this lady that I do trust, she was letting me know that I would not really settle into my career or what I truly want to do until my like mid to late 30s. And so it's interesting because I'm in my mid-30s now, and technically this is really where I'm starting to see a clear path for myself develop. So that reminds me not to rush anything because I'm right on track. And even if I don't figure it out within the next couple of years, really life is life. You just keep flowing and you'll figure out something that works for you, even if it's temporary. You always have to figure out what works for you. Nothing truly lasts forever. But going back to this whole transformative stage, I also had to write to myself because I noticed in the process leading up to my releasing ceremony, which I did for myself in order to let go of those experiences and those memories that were really holding me back from just advancing towards who I am now. I was just overthinking. My mind was really overactive and I just could not seem to get out of that space of questioning myself and wondering if I'm okay and wondering if I can trust my mind, you know, and my mind is in charge of everything and doing what it wants to do. And when I started writing, I really was able to put all those feelings to paper to really clarify and clear all those thoughts and those feelings that were just coming to me but not going anywhere. They were just kind of sitting in here, and I would talk about it with my therapist or I would, you know, bring it up with my partner, but it still felt like it wasn't really clearing itself. I was still holding on to these things. And definitely when you are holding on to a feeling, it's because it serves you in some way, or when you hold on to some process or some pattern, it's serving you in some way. And that was really, I guess it was serving me in the sense that I could kind of use it as a crutch, but also it gave me a story of what I'm coming from. And I don't need that story to justify where I'm at. But for some reason, I felt like I guess in hindsight, I was really just holding on to it because it would make for a great story. Crazy. I don't need to tell a story about my life to justify where I'm at. I just need to flow and accept that wherever I'm going is where I'm going to be. And I guess I always have this bad habit of thinking that other people require this to validate my existence or validate my presence or where I'm going and such and such. And again, that is your mind really just going into overdrive. And also, I guess a bit of society's conditioning playing on you, making you feel like you need to deserve whatever you receive in this life. And if you're not working hard enough, then you don't deserve much more than what you have now. So I felt like those things were giving me the overcoming or the ability to overcome all of those experiences that were hard, like depression. It was being held on to justify my overcoming story. And I don't think I really need any of that. And maybe I'll put all the letters to myself in a book one day. But I think right now, I just really feel that it's not giving any, and it's not supporting my right now, because it's really just me living in the past. And I don't want to do that anymore. So I got to let it go. I don't know where that song came from. But yeah. So I'm letting that go. And after I wrote the letter to myself, I really put out so much. I also was able to, you know, use my crystals to support the releasing process, which was really beautiful because it was a good meditation and it was a good, clear letting go of what I was feeling. So that really worked out for me as a whole ceremony that I think I created off the top of my head with the support of my guides and my angels. You know what it is. They be the crew. But I feel as though just from that experience, it's really important for all of us to recognize when either our feelings are holding us captive or our mind is holding us captive. And it's not to say that that's the water from upstairs. It's not to say that you are separate from any of these things or they're just operating on their own, but sometimes we allow ourselves to be compartmentalized, and then we allow each part of ourselves to work separately as opposed to together, and we don't really feel aligned. And I know that feeling very well. So when you feel like your mind is just overactive and in a sense keeping you captive the same way your feelings might be, you do have to release some of those experiences that you've been holding on to that is allowing your mind or your feelings to just go out of whack. And it's interesting because sometimes you don't even really recognize it because you feel like the self-talk is helping you. But in actuality, if it's just playing over and over and it's not really giving you any freedom to be at peace with no thoughts, then you have to really reassess whether your self-talk is actually supporting your well-being or if it's kind of just cluttering your well-being and not giving you that space to be at peace. So that was that. Great experience. I feel like in the process, it doesn't mean it's just gone, but it's like, yeah, it's still clearing as days go on, as things come to me, as I write, it continues to just clear and cleanse my body, that whole releasing process. So yeah, that was really cool. I mean, give yourself space. If you feel like it doesn't have to be about motherhood. If you feel like you're in a transition stage, you should let go of who you were that led up to that transition. It's not that you're gone, but it's just you don't need to replay the memories of the worst times and even sometimes the best times. You don't have to replay all of those things over and over just to be okay with your present situation. You have to let go in order to make space for the new beginnings, the new experiences, the new excitement, maybe even the new worst of times. But you have to make space for your forward. Otherwise, going forward, it's just going to be like you can't really keep you can't really enjoy those experiences as fully because you're no longer going to be really present in them. You're just going to be in the past. So, yeah, no, that was what I wanted to share in terms of the end of my maiden to motherhood experience. But going forward with the new, not even so much a but as we go forward, what I'm going to do is I'm going to share with you guys every week what I've learned, what I've dreamed, and what I've seen. So these are three things that I know I'm always going to have coming together because I'm here, I'm present, I want to know what it is. But let's start off with what I've learned. So as I've told you guys, what I've learned, I feel like this definitely resonates with the mental side of me, and each of them resonate with like either mind, body, or spirit. So what I've learned is actually based on my session with my therapist on hypnosis. Okay. So when I was doing that session, and I don't know if anyone's ever tried hypnotherapy yet, but it was actually a very interesting, very cool experience, and definitely can't wait for my next session. This week's a little bit jumbled because, yeah. But anyways, so she had me do a focusing activity, like more of a meditation, but focused on something during that meditation. And during that focus, she would continue speaking in the background, and just, you know, kind of speaking to my subconscious, because you have to remember that your conscious is actively aware, it focuses on things, and you know that it's doing that. Whereas your subconscious is not as focused, or you don't recognize what it's receiving as it receives this information. So then I realized, wait a minute, if that's how it works, and some of you guys may already know this, but it's new to me. I realized in that moment, like, oh, this is why what you listen to, especially as background noise, is so important, because it's actually speaking to your subconscious. And whatever it's receiving on that level kind of replays at other given times, whether it's in the middle of your sleep or when you're sitting on the toilet. It's like if I listen to, if I'm listening to Beyonce, and the funny thing is like her songs will be in my head just because it's in my head, or whatever I'm listening to at that time. So that and Tomorrow by Glorilla, those two songs, like that and Break My Soul, have just been in my head. Okay. Like, but the thing is, I'm not actively listening to these songs a lot. I'm usually listening to them in the background. So it's while I'm driving, so I'm focusing on the road, and then that's playing in the background. Or it's me at home doing something very specific, whether it's working or just, you know, entertaining my child, and that's in the background. And so the rest of the time throughout the day, I'm just like, man, why can't I get song lyrics out of my head? And yes, I shouldn't be scrutinizing my thoughts all the time, but this is when I was very overactive in my thinking. And it led me to realize, what if I try playing some calming music or some stress relief music, or even stress release music, blah, 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 stress relief music, or if I play like frequency music. So I did that. And what I found in the process is that the thoughts have gotten a lot less. They've quieted. I'm not singing song lyrics all the time, but instead there's just a difference. It's almost like there's less chatter happening at all times. So I do want to just get you guys to try this, because I think it will be a cool experience, or a cool thing to know going forward. So I'm not going to say frequency music is all exciting or anything like that, but because you're focused on, say you're working, and you're focused on the work you're doing, just put the frequency music on in your headphones and let it play. And I want you to tell me how you feel, maybe not directly after, but later on. Like, do it a few times and see how it impacts the thoughts that are going on for you, and see if it's working. See if I think this is my experiment. Okay. Try it out. Enjoy that. And thank me later. Okay. Thank me later. So yeah, that was really cool. I've been doing it where I can, and I just got to be a bit more consistent with it, but you know, sometimes you're going to be like, I want to hear Glorilla. So I'm going to listen to Glorilla. So that's what it is. Anyway, yeah, so that's what I learned for this week. And then what I dreamed. Can I just say I've been having the most vivid dreams? And I've always had very vivid dreams. Some of them stand out more than others. But this one, I was just like, Mel, what the heck? Like, what's really going on? I think I have a hang name. But anyways, my dream last week, I had two very specific dreams around the same lines. And they're both extinction level events in my dream. And they were about family. So in the first one, it was really, what I tell you. Okay, so the first dream, it was like my family was together, the whole unit, and we knew like floods were coming. And we're like, okay, we didn't have enough time to get to higher ground, but we were able to stay together. And we were in like what looked like a box truck, a boxy looking truck, a U-Haul. And in that, it had beds, so we knew this would be like where we sleep and travel. And while we were doing that, I looked up at the mountain and I could see the water now coming down and like just splashing over, like almost like a waterfall, a whole bunch of water coming down. And so everyone knew in this society knew this was happening. So it wasn't like there's any more panic. It was just, we got to accept our fate. And it was like, we were in the thing and the water started to rise and we're like, okay, let's get to the top of the car and see if we can stay. The car wasn't moving anything. It was still steady in its space, as if this water didn't move at all, but whatever. I'll take that. And so we're like, let's move to the top of the car. And we're looking at the water surrounding us. And from there, it was just like, you know, we have each other. And we're like, maybe we really should have went to higher ground sooner. And I woke up. I was just like, okay, that's so random. But sure. Then the next dream that I had was a few days later. And it was similar. But instead of water, it was snow. So the snow, and if you guys know how to interpret dreams, please share the information. The snow was coming and it was cold and we were all just kind of chilling in the same similar situation where we're all together in a home, but this time, you know, we're allowing the fire to like stay warm and we're like, if we could just keep our doors closed, if we could keep our place enclosed, maybe we can survive all of this. But again, our whole family was together. There was snow outside. There wasn't snow. I'm picturing snow inside, but I feel like that's from Day After Tomorrow, a movie. And I woke up where it was like, okay, that's a second extinction level event dream. I haven't looked this up as yet. But I feel like the message I received from that was really about our family going through whatever. It doesn't matter. And us sticking together. And that would be the most important thing. To me, it also coincided with the fact that I am transitioned into this role of mother. And family has become so important to me. And family is like that matters more than all the ideas I had about hustling to be rich or to move away from my family. And this doesn't mean I don't want to move and live in another country. It just means I think that really we're going to be together and that is important in my life, and that we can weather any storm together. So yeah, dreams. I'm going to try and write down more of my dreams, but definitely I know I usually have at least one dream a week that's going to stand out, and that's going to be the one I share with you. But I guess that's really my spirit recognizing this transition for me, and also seeing that shift that I'm experiencing within my family as we almost come closer together because of my daughter. And the fact that we have our nieces, my nieces and my nephew, who really require us and need to see unity amongst our family. So, yeah, especially when everywhere else it doesn't seem like much things are unified. Which takes me to the next point of what I've seen. Oh, yeah. I just realized the whole sound thing might be off because I'm going closer and further away from the mic. So, what I've seen, and this really speaks to the body because it oftentimes gives me a frustrating feeling in my body depending on what I've seen. And I honestly feel like I don't have any choice but to talk about this because it is the thing that I've seen and has stood out to me the most this week. And it's Kanye. So it's not so much about Kanye as a person. It's more about Kanye's use of black outrage and outrage from the masses to market himself, to remain relevant, and to position himself in a place of power where he has influence, more influence than before, and more control over how people, not how people respond to him as much as just how people focus on him. And I think this is a great tactic that he learned from the Kardashians. And over time, I think as his head has blown up even further, he has realized this really works. And we've seen it with any album release. We've seen it with the release of his sneakers. We've seen it with anything that he is planning to sell to people. So why this is on my list of what I've seen and what I wanted to share today, because I remember that some years ago, probably throughout the pandemic and even right before it, a lot of people were noticing that mainstream brands, whether it be H&M with the whole monkey thing, was it Gucci or Louis Vuitton, one of those companies with their like weird shirt or something, a lot of these brands, oh, and even the articles about the Kardashians coming up with the braids and all that sort of stuff, people slowly started to realize they were utilizing black rage, because we would get upset about this as a black community. We'd be upset because we're like, why are you giving credit to that person? Or this is terrible. How can you guys depict black people as monkeys? Like, you guys know what you're doing. So it became a trend to use black outrage as a means to fuel your marketing and get more attention to yourself. And it was messed up because some of us saw this happening and we were still outraged. Whereas there was, I guess, a few of us who were like, yo, I can't give any attention to that because it's just not right. And why I bring up Kanye in this is because it's really weird to me that someone from technically the black community would actually utilize our outrage to fuel their ego or to support their marketing of whatever they're trying to sell us, which is so many different things. And it just brings me to a place of realizing that this person doesn't truly come in as love, and for that reason should never be looked at as a leader. I think we also, I'll talk about this maybe another podcast, but in what I've seen, there are no leadership qualities in anyone who doesn't come from a place of love first and supporting growth and compassion and understanding within people. I think the most important leadership qualities are compassion for people, leading with understanding and leading with love. And with all those things comes confidence. With all those things comes charisma. With all of those things comes the ability to impart wisdom into others and actually make real change. And so I noticed there's a lot of people who really want Kanye to be their savior, and not just Kanye, but anyone who is outspoken against mainstream media or the collective beliefs of society is considered to be a leader. People with money are considered to be leaders, and we associate leadership solely with power. We don't associate leadership with qualities that make great leaders and help people move and shift their thinking and shift their bodies towards the greater good of society. And I feel like when someone decides to utilize outrage, such a low vibration of energy, to shift people in a direction, then automatically they are not considered a leader to me. And automatically they are not what they say they are. They certainly aren't coming in the light. They're not coming in love. They're not coming in any of those things. And as many times as someone like Kanye wants to be like, you know, God, cool. I think you're speaking to God, but I don't know if you're really actually listening to God. So, I mean, there's points are made. I just think we need to realize this when we're talking about people like Kanye, or talking about the Joe Rogans, or talking about the, who are these other people? Trumps and even other like liberal leaders. When we're talking about any of these type of leaders, especially politicians, a lot of the time, we're not seeing them commit to bringing that level of wisdom, compassion, or understanding to the masses. And I don't think we should really allow people to just be so, we shouldn't really enable people to be given that leadership title without them truly earning it based on qualities of leaders, not based on how loud they are, how much money they are, how aggressive they are in, or how passionate they are about their own personal needs. It's just, you got to be aware of manipulation. And so what I've seen within this current situation, in this current environment where outrage seems to be the only thing that we're using to shift people, we need to recognize that when it's being used, it's not by a leader, it's by a manipulator. And we need to recognize that these people don't deserve our rage. They don't reserve that level of emotion from us. And because it is such a low vibration, it's not actually improving people's lives and it's not making things better. So I'm gonna say that there's a lot more ways for us to move people in a good positive direction, and outrage is probably the lowest way to do it, but I won't lie, it's probably the easiest way to do it currently, because we're already in such a place where a lot of us are feeling low vibration or feeling low in general and not as up in our energy, you know. But anyways, so that is my weekly messages to me here and today. I hope that you enjoyed today's episode, and please share it with others. Talk about it, tell a friend. I should actually start promoting myself too, so that will be coming soon. So I'm, now that we're at 10 episodes, I feel like I'm ready to share with the world what I've been working on and what I've been doing in my morning and nights, mostly nights, because you guys know I don't wake up early. So yeah, we're here. Have a great day. Have a great week. I'll check in with you guys next Monday, usually. But yeah, all the best. Your girl is going to make some food for her child.